Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13. I will read it from verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." Verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower." Verse 24. "He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the man who sowed good seed in his field." Verse 33. "He spoke another parable to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven." Verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field." Verse 45. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking the pearls." Verse 47. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and a gathering fish of every kind." Verse 52. "And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasures things new and old." Let's have a word of prayer before the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you once again because it is your mercy and grace we are here to listen to your word. Especially, Lord, you are going to show us the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much because when we come to your presence, it is your delight to show such wonderful thing to us. Lord, we thank you. Our eyes are blessed. Our ears are blessed. Because we are going to see and we are going to hear these wonderful mysteries of kingdom of heaven. So Lord, this morning we ask you, once again, draw our heart to your very presence. And while we are here, we are just like Mary, really sitting at your feet. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts. And may your word really sink into very deeply into your heart, into our hearts. Lord, we are waiting before you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning we will be occupied with the mysteries of kingdom of heaven. Now we know Matthew 13 is the high point of the whole gospel according to Mark. Now all the thoughts, all the will of God, and all the doing of our Lord somehow converge to this wonderful chapter. And the most important thought about this chapter is the phrase we have just read, that is, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And some other translation is the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know that these mysteries are connected with 8 parables presented in this chapter. Now, we have mentioned in the whole Gospel of Matthew that 5 peaks, because our Lord has 5 sermons. So, I have demonstrated to you with 5 fingers, and then you have 4 valleys, and you have 2 slopes here, two plains here. But now, in this chapter, we have 8 parables. We will discover same symmetry in this chapter. It's just like the symmetry for the whole book. Now, here we are told 8 parables. Now, the first one, I think you know that it's the parable of sowing. Second one, the parable of the tares. The third one, the parable of the mustard seed. The third one, the leaven. The third one, the treasure. Then the pearl. Then the dragnet. Then the scribe. So, fortunately, I have 8 fingers. So, if you put them together like this, you get 8 parables. Now, this is the first one. This is the first one, the parable of the sower. The parable of tares. The parable of the mustard seed. The parable of leaven. The parable of treasure. The parable of pearl. The parable of dragnet. The parable of scribe. And these two form a pair, the first one and the last one. Because in these two parables, Bible didn't mention, the Lord didn't say, the kingdom of heaven is like this, or the kingdom of heaven may be compared to something else. You can see that here? Then you have this 6. You have this 6. Bible always said, the kingdom of heaven is like this and like that. So we have been shown 6 pictures here. Something to do with the kingdom of heavens. Then when you come to the second parable, and if you compare with the 7th parable, I mean this one and this one. Now, the parable of tares and the parable of dragnets. If you compare them carefully, you discover in this parable, it mentions the word, the end of the age. And in the 7th one, also the end of age. In this parable, you have the word angels. Here you also the word angels. Here you have, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, here you have the phrase, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then you have the furnace of fire. You also have the furnace of fire. Here it talks about the righteous. Here you also talk about righteous. Here you talk about the wicked. Here you talk about also the wicked in some other different description. But anyway, brothers and sisters, if you look carefully, read carefully these two parables, you discover they one-to-one correspond to each other. So by this way, you can discover another beauty within this great chapter Matthew 13, also the same symmetry. If you meditate upon it, and especially when we know what are the mysteries of the kingdom of God revealed in this chapter, brothers and sisters, then we will discover it is indeed a wonderful design by our God, by the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning, we only cover the first 2 parables. Then, next message, we are going to cover the 3rd and 4th. That is, the leaven and the treasure. The mustard seed and the leaven. Okay, today, the sower and the tares. So, next time we will talk about the mustard seed and the leaven. Then in the last message of this series, we will cover the parable of the treasure, parable of the pearl, parable of the dragnet, and the parable of the scribe. Now, these 8 parables can be divided into 2 groups. And the first 4 parables our Lord has given to the public, to the crowds. And in these four parables, our Lord only spoken to his disciples in the house. Now these are very important features, brothers and sisters, for us to understand these eight parables. Now especially when we come to the last four. You see, because in the first through two, we have no argument with the first two parables, because the Lord explained it. And in the last one, in the seventh one, the Lord also explained half of it. So I think we have no argument in these three parables. But now the problem is with the others. As if the Lord didn't explain it. But if we know the Word of God well, if we really know the intention of the Holy Spirit to give us such a chapter, now we ought to know in a very plain way, in a very simple way. Now let us remember, these eight parables are not going to confuse us. It's going for us to understand. Because the Bible said, the Lord said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of kingdom. And at the very end, our Lord asked them, have you understood all these things? So, brothers and sisters, these things are supposed to be understood. But it is sad to say, when you really read many books about this chapter, many notes about this chapter, many books about Matthew 13, then your impression is this. The more you study this book, the more you are confused. Then you discover you just cannot understand. You discover one spiritual giant who really know the Word of God so well. Like, for example, like Campbell Morgan. Now, if you read his commentary, or if you read his explanation about these seven parables, then you were so touched because you know that he's indeed the student of the Word. He really did not spoil the Word of God. Really follow the rule of interpretation. But then, when you come to another master of the Word, when you come to another Bible student like Govet, and someone even suggests that Govet is 100 years ahead of his time. And Spurgeon speaks of Govet. He said, now when you read his book, you will find some gold. And now, if you go to some other, if you read some other books, and you discover all the able students of God, the Word of God. But then, as if you can come to the conclusion, almost no one, they are the same with the interpretations. So we are confused. What does that mean? That means, are we supposed to understand, or after the interpretation, after the explanation, we are even more confused? But this is not the original idea of our Lord. When the Lord spoke these eight parables, He wanted us to understand. He wanted us to know. He wanted us to enter into the spirit of these eight parables. So, for brothers and sisters, the rule of interpretation for this chapter is this. We have to go to the simplicity. We have to remember that. Now, when the Lord already interpreted in the first two parables, He already laid some rules there. So everything becomes so simple. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Now you don't have to ask, what is this field? It's so simple. Because the Lord already mentioned what is the field. It is this world. And you remember the first parable, a sower went out to sow. And we know that sower is our Lord. When you come to the second one, you see, a man went out to sow the good seed. Our Lord said, it is Son of Man. So, brother and sister, when you go on and on, when you study a treasure of man in the field, which a man found and hid. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seek fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and bought it.
So, brother and sister, the Lord already mentioned who is that person. If our Lord meant someone else, or if our Lord is as complicated as we are, the Lord ought to tell us. If He did not tell us, it means that you just go ahead, because our Lord already explained everything. We have no freedom. We cannot explain, interpret the Word of God at our will. We have no freedom, brothers and sisters. The Word of God is always bigger than us. We have no freedom to interpret the Word according to our will. No. The law already mentioned that. That's why, brother and sister, you won't get confused. Some people, when they come to this parable of pearls, now, they consider this pearl is our Lord. And then, who is this man? This man, we are that man. We discover the great Savior, and then, brother and sister, how you are going to pay the price to gain the Savior? We, brother and sister, you know that we have we save by grace, and we save by grace freely. We can, yes, it is our Lord. Indeed, you can compare Him with the great pearl, no doubt about that. We will say reverently, indeed, you can compare our Lord with the great pearl. But then, if you go on, you discover how you are going to pay all the price and to buy our Savior. Is it possible? Just like Sammy Ruther said, we can never buy heaven. It's impossible, brothers and sisters. Yes, heaven is like a pearl. And even you consider our Lord, even the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl. How can we do that? So, for that reason, if you read the Bible carefully in this chapter, let us stick to the very simplicity. That is, if the law wants that it have some other meaning, He definitely will explain to us. He definitely will tell us. Otherwise, brother and sister, it's so simple. The field simply means the well. A man simply means our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something else that's mentioned, like the woman, of course, is not the man. So by this way, if you go on, then we begin to understand the parable. So I think this is just a few words, especially for the young people. When we come to this wonderful chapter, let us be humble before the Lord. We believe that, especially when we come to the last four parables, since now this disciple is already in the house, and our Lord said, I will let you know that it is granted to you to know the mysteries of kingdom of God. So that means there is no sense for the Lord to put another veil between Him and the disciples. So, brothers and sisters, everything was crystal clear. If we just listen the word of God, listen the word of our Lord carefully, then we should be able to get all the answers of these eight parables. Now, why our Lord mentioned about the mysteries. Now, brothers and sisters, if we read another phrase, I think it will be, for example, if we read verse 35 of same chapter, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. So, brothers and sisters, what are the parables? Why the Lord spoke in parables? Because these are the things hidden since the foundation of the world. So, what does that mean? This means that the mystery of a kingdom revealed in chapter 13. It is something very new. No one knew it before. And what is the mystery? Mystery actually is a divine purpose hidden in the counsels of God for long ages, but finally disclosed in a new revelation by our Lord. So, my brother and sister, when you come to chapter 13 of Matthew, We come to a very important turning point of history of mankind. Now, before our Lord opened his mouth in parables, you discover something hidden in the heart of God. No one understands. Because it's a mystery. And this mystery will be revealed by our Lord. And it's a new revelation. It's brand new. That's why our Lord says, why only you know, the Lord said, it has been granted to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been granted. And the Lord said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. But then the Lord immediately said, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Why our eyes are blessed? Why the eyes of disciples were blessed? Because now they began to see something new, never saw before. Now they are going to hear something which they never heard before. So, brothers and sisters, there is something new. It's great things here. I don't know. When you study this chapter, how do you feel, brothers and sisters? It is our Lord who is going to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God. As said before that, no one knew about the kingdom of heaven. As said before that, no one knew. They didn't see it. So you see, brothers and sisters, what our Lord says, he said, for truly I say to you that many prophets and a righteous man desire to see what you see. Jeremiah, like Daniel, like Isaiah, like Abraham, these prophets in the Old Testament, this righteous man in the Old Testament, like David, they desire to see what you see and did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So, brother and sister, do you see that? Something hidden in the heart of God. Now our Lord is going to reveal that secret, to reveal that mystery to us. Then we begin to understand what is kingdom of God. So, my brother and sister, that's why we discover Matthew 13 is such a great chapter in the Bible. Because, brother and sister, it is a turning point in the history of mankind. Before that, we knew, we didn't see certain things. But the Lord said, this is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We are going to see it. We are going to hear it. Now, that's the first point we have to keep in our mind. Now, the second point is when we come to the last parables, the Lord said, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, the Lord talked about scribe, who was so familiar with the Old Testament, who was so well trained in the Word of God, especially in Old Testament. But now, if he was well taught by our Lord, if he became a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, now, brothers and sisters, something happened. Now, it is like a head of a household who brings forth out its treasure, things new and old. So, brothers and sisters, you discover the kingdom of heaven is something new. But let us not go to extreme. It's also something old. So, my brothers and sisters, this is very, very important. If we don't understand these two principles, then we will get lost in these eight parables. But thank God, it is in these eight parables, and we begin to understand the kingdom of God. It is something new, yet it is something old. But it was something old because when our Lord preached the kingdom of heaven, he did not explain to his audience, what is the kingdom of heaven? He didn't have to define it. Everybody knows about it. So you see, brothers and sisters, there was something old there. The term was old. The kingdom of heaven was old. You see that? And all the audience, Jewish audience there, if they knew the Daniel very well, especially Daniel chapter 2, you remember when Bible talk about that great statue, a stone will smash the feet of that statue. And then the interpretation of Daniel was this. The kingdom of heaven will set another kingdom which will endure forever. So you see, brothers and sisters, what is the kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of heaven means now is completely different from other kingdoms of the world. Then you discover kingdom. This kingdom was ruled from heaven. So you see, brothers and sisters, everybody knows what is the kingdom of heaven. Now, even according to the literature in the rabbis, before the laws, before the first century, and you discover the Jewish people, they already use this phrase very often, or very frequently, the kingdom of heaven. So, brothers and sisters, let us remember, this is something old. When the law said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent and believe in gospel. Because the time has been fulfilled. My brother and sister, remember, when the law said the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is at hand, his audience, his Jewish audience ought to know what our Lord was talking about. Our Lord didn't have to tell them, explain to them what are the kingdom of heaven. But, my brothers and sisters, as if they know everything about it, yet they don't know it. That's the mysteries of kingdom of heaven. As if they know everything from the Old Testament. Brothers, if you read, if you want to get the key to understand the prophecies in the Old Testament, you can never get rid of it, my brothers and sisters. Finally, you will come to the conclusion. Now, the kingdom of God was predicted, was prophesied, and there will be a literal kingdom, according to Revelation, will be 1,000 years. Now, everybody knows. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the fifth kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven will set another kingdom. This kingdom is also called the kingdom of Son of Man. He will descend from the cloud and he will receive such a kingdom. My brother and sister, it was so clear. Whole Old Testament was behind. And you discovered that in the Old Testament, all the prophecies, most of the prophecies almost converge to this point. So if you read the Old Testament, you are supposed to know the kingdom of heaven. But my brothers and sisters, our Lord said, I truly say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So, brothers and sisters, this means what? This means something new. Something different. They think they already know about it. Because they are wise. That's why God hide these things from them. But reveal all these secrets to the babes. My brothers and sisters, may the Lord deliver us. To a point that we will return. We will be childlike. We will be like a babe. Then you discover, our Lord said, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now, when the Lord said, hear then the parable of the sower. So we know that all these eight parables are connected with the mysteries of the kingdom. So by this way, my brothers and sisters, we are going to see a brand new revelation of our Lord. It is our Lord who opened the secret. It is our Lord who opened the mystery. That we began to understand. Then we began to enter into, then we began to get the picture of the kingdom of heaven.
Now, interesting to see is this. The Lord not only say, your eyes are blessed, also say, your ears are blessed. Now, our ears are blessed because we are going to hear these parables. So this is not allegory. If it's allegory, it will deal with the details. You understand only when you read it. But a parable knows. Parable is just like pictures. You hear it. When you hear it, you will get a picture. So may the Lord be merciful to us. Through these 8 pictures, we are going to understand the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. But our Lord also say, blessed are your eyes because they see. So, brothers and sisters, the mysteries of kingdom has 2 parts. One part is connected with what disciples see. And another part is somehow connected with what they hear. Now, we will come to the what they hear later. But, brothers and sisters, when we read this word, the mysteries is in plural. So there are many mysteries here. Now, if you gather the whole Gospel of Matthew, or if you gather the whole Bible, now let us put that in one word. Let us try to find out what is the greatest mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, you have to ask them, what did they see? You discover that these disciples, they were in the presence of our Lord. So, my brothers and sisters, what did they see? What did they see? What did they see was our Lord. What does that mean? The greatest mystery of the kingdom of God is the King of the kingdom of heaven. My brother and sister, this king is completely different from any other king. How do you know that you come to a right kingdom? How do you know that you did not make a mistake? You enter into a kingdom. Brothers and sisters, there is no mistake. Because here you will find a greatest mysteries of kingdom of God. Is the king of this kingdom. Is completely different from any other kingdom. Now, brothers and sisters, now we have to gather all the information from Matthew. Then, if you read on, then you will discuss, if you read the whole Matthew, then you see a picture here. Because when only Matthew tried to picture for us vividly the king of the kingdom, who is very different from other kingdom. Now, what is a feature of our king? Now, you remember in Matthew 27, there was a description. I think you know, you are very familiar with this description. And they stripped him. They stripped our Lord. And put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. And a reed in his right hand. And they kneeled down before him. And mock him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. My brothers and sisters, you can never find one picture like in Matthew. Even you go to some other gospel, you don't find the same description. Not as vivid, not as perfect as this picture. You see that, brothers and sisters? You discover this is our king. This is the king of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because this king is with a crown of thorns. And then you discover in his hand is not a royal scepter. In his hand is not a rod of iron. You discover that in his hand is a reed in his right hand. And they kneel down before him and mock him, say, Hail, King of the Jews. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is the secret. This is mysteries never been revealed before.
That's why, brother and sister, these people crucify him, because they didn't know that he is Messiah. They didn't know that he is the coming Messiah. No. Because according to their judgment, he ought to be crucified. If he is crucified on the cross, he must be cursed according to Deuteronomy. And by many ways, they just cannot see it. They understand that. They know the Daniel. They know the prophecies in Isaiah. But my brothers and sisters, they just cannot see the Isaiah 53. They know that Isaiah must be glorious Messiah. Now, when they study the Word of God, they can never figure out a suffering Messiah. So, brothers and sisters, do you see that? Today, if you visit England, if you visit Holland, if you visit Japan, make no mistake, you come to a right kingdom, because their king is with a crown of glory. And it is only our Lord, it is only the king of this kingdom is different. You discover this king, he is king. But brother and sister, what is the label, what is the feature of this king? You make no mistake, if you come to a kingdom and you discover the one who sits on the throne with the crown of thorn and with a reed in his hand, my brother and sister, you understand you come to the right kingdom. You know that this is the kingdom of heaven. And my brother and sisters, this is one of the greatest mysteries of kingdom of heaven. And they didn't see it. You see, brother and sisters, many prophets, righteous men, they desire to see. Did they see it? Yes, they did not see it. Why? They see it because they are correct. Because one day our Lord will come again. His feet will tread upon the Mount Olive. My dear brother and sister, today in the mountaintop of Mount Olive, there is a hotel. I forgot the name. Probably Intercontinental Hotel. Some people suggest that when the Lord returns, probably he will check in first, then go to Jerusalem. But my brothers and sisters, you see that? No mistake at all, or for every student of Old Testament, if they are faithful to the Word of God, especially when they went through so much suffering and the persecutions of the Empire of Babylon and the Greeks and the Empire of Rome. Oh, how they wait to be delivered out of that tyranny. But my brothers and sisters, they understand, they saw the King Messiah will come down with a white horse. They imagine all the glory of the Messiah. But my brothers and sisters, they just miss one point. They can never figure out. Isaiah 53 tells, they can never figure out that one is supposed to be fulfilled by a suffering Messiah. That's why now they turn to another way. They explain their way, saying that, well, that actually applied to the people of Israel, and so on and so forth. But anyway, brothers and sisters, you see that they don't see it. They thought they saw it, but they didn't see it. But our Lord is indeed the King of Heaven, Kingdom of Heaven. And my brother and sister, what is the mystery? Mystery is this. Our King is with crown of thorns. How can you combine this thought together? Crown represent glory. And thorns represent shame. My brother and sister, if you come to the kingdom of England, if you come to Japan, if you go to any glorious kingdom, now when you come to the presence of a king, full of glory. My brothers and sisters, remember, this is the greatest mysteries of kingdom of God. Now, you know when John the Baptist preached the kingdom of heaven, and he didn't explain the whole thing to them. And I think everybody understood. When he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. Now, everybody understand. It means the messianic kingdom. It means the coming kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, for that reason, when you come to the to listen to the sermon of John the Baptist is very different. That really represents his understanding about the kingdom of heaven. And to the those audience, they also understand. You see, when you mention about kingdom of heaven, they know what our Lord is talking about. I said, probably they always have that great statue in view. Now, that great statue with the gold head representing Babylonian Empire, then the silver chest, Persian Empire, then the Bronze Valley, Greek Empire, then the Iron Leg, Roman Empire. Then you come to the fifth empire. And that is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven will set up a kingdom on this earth. So for that reason, it was so clear, brothers and sisters, when they said, repent, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everybody understand. If they know very well, it means that. Now, even if you listen to the sermon of John the Baptist, and you know, what did he say? Very interesting. He said, when he saw many of Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warn you free from the wrath to come. You see, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven was connected with the wrath to come. With that day of judgment, the day of the law, is predicted in the Old Testament, predicted in the prophecy of Joel, predicted in Isaiah, that day, the day of Jehovah. My brothers and sisters, that's why John said, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth in keeping with your repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourself, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from this stone to raise children to Abraham. Then, and axe is already laid at root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. So when Messiah comes, he is going either baptize them into the Holy Spirit, baptize them with the Holy Spirit, and according to the Old Testament prophecy, the Holy Spirit will be poured out. Now, if you don't yield to it, then you discover he will baptize them with fire. Then, you know, John Baptist continued to say, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into barn, but he will burn off the chaff with unquenchable fire. Brothers and sisters, you see that all the wicked and all the iniquity will be swept out. Then you discover that our Lord, the Messiah come, will baptize them with fire. So you see, brothers and sisters, that's what John Baptist was preaching. And we understand what that means. If we know the background very well, it means that. So that's why we begin to understand the complaint of John when he was in prison. And then, he asked the Lord, he said, are you the coming one or shall we look for someone else? Are you the one? Are you the coming one? Why? Because our Lord did not act like what he was preaching. Because if the Lord is the Messiah, then in his hand you will find the axe. You will find the winnowing fork. He is going to baptize the world with fire. Now, but that didn't happen. The Roman Empire was still there. And then you discover that the people still suffer under the enemy, their enemy. So you see, brothers and sisters, then for that reason, John Baptist, somehow he was stumbled. He said, are you the coming one? You know, what is our Lord's answer? He said, go and report to John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and deaf hear, and dead are raised up,
And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. Now, brothers and sisters, what a different picture. He did not bring the fork and axe, but he bring oil and wine. Because he know that these people, just like those people who fall into the hand of robbers, have that. But now, when Samaritan came, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pour oil and wine upon them. My brothers and sisters, this is the Messiah. This is the sight of Messiah they miss. My brother and sister, he is so wonderful. If you know the Bible prophecy, if you know the prophecy of Isaiah very well, you discover the first time when the Lord entered into synagogue, he quotes some prophecy in the Old Testament in Isaiah, but he only quoted a part of it. Then he stopped somewhere. So, my brothers and sisters, what does that mean? The Lord is going to show us the mysteries of kingdom of power, of God, of heaven, because it is exactly that power we missed. So, brothers and sisters, he did not bring, now you see, what do you see? You report to John. And now, yes, the Roman Empire is still there. The violence is still everywhere. You discover he did not, our Lord did not baptize the people with fire, with the Holy Spirit. So, are you the coming one? Why, my brothers and sisters? Because they, just like John, just like many prophets, just like righteous men, yet see, yet they do not see. Hear, yet they do not understand. My brothers and sisters, what does that mean? This means something wrong with their eyes. You see, brothers and sisters? Now, if you have a cataract, what do you get? Now, how do you know someone who has a cataract? I have a cataract before when I was 50 years old. So, and I discover, how do you know someone has cataract? You give the two fingers, and you say, how many fingers do you have? How many fingers do I have? He will say one, if he gets a cataract. Seeing, yet he does not see. So you see, brothers and sisters, the problem with us, the problem with the people in the Old Testament, or this righteous, is nothing wrong. It's something wrong with their eyes. They saw something, but yet they didn't see. They didn't see the whole picture. Do they see it? If you ask them, how many fingers do they have? They only see one finger. They only see one coming of Messiah. They didn't know there are two comings of Messiah. Messiah came 2,000 years ago. One day, he will come again, my brothers and sisters. Because they have a cataract. So that's why the cataract has to be removed. If the cataract is removed, I congratulate you. You will see two fingers. You will see two comings of Messiah. My brothers and sisters, in the first coming of Messiah, he brings oil and wine. And he is Lamb of God. He entered into Jerusalem with a donkey. And my brothers and sisters, the cross was his throne. He set up his throne on the cross. And you know, Jewish authority challenged him. Now, he cannot save himself. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down and we will believe him. Our Lord was set on the cross because he totally set his throne on the cross. So, my brothers and sisters, cross is something they can never see. They see great gold. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the earthly people of God have something very special, very different from any other people. For example, you take Roman people. They always dream something in the past. They always think about the golden age in the past. Talk to the Greek people. They always talk about something in the past. But only people of God, with the instruction of the Word of God, they always looking forward. Lord, their golden age was not in behind their golden age, always in ahead of them. So, my brothers and sisters, this is wonderful. This is a wonderful thing. This is exactly the lesson God taught Daniel. You see, Daniel was almost 90 years old. Now, God showed him 70 times 7. If he looked back for that 70 years,
He will discover I was undone. I had been captured in such a place. I had no contribution to the kingdom of God because I want to serve Him. Unfortunately, I have been captured. So if he look at himself, nothing. If he dare not to, look forward. You ask any old brothers and sisters. You see, they always look backward. They don't look forward. Because actually there are not many years to be look forward. So we always look backward. So my mother told me that, you see, when she was young, she had slew 3 tigers. She told me she was very strong. Of course, this is, you see, she always talk about something in the past. My brother and sister, this is human nature. Thank God. What is the gospel of the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God, the gospel is this. Kingdom is not only today, kingdom is of tomorrow. What does that mean? That means we always with the future. Now, with Daniel, if he only looked forward for 70 years, he already died. He already lying in the womb. But God said, you look forward. Go ahead, ahead, ahead. After 69 years, then Christ will be born in Bethlehem. He will die on the cross. So, my brothers and sisters, the whole future did not lie with Daniel, lie with Christ. So, my brothers and sisters, it's very, very important. Yes, it is only the Jewish people, only the people of Israel, they look forward for the golden days. But unfortunately, brothers and sisters, this is their great goal. What is the way? What is the path to glory? It is great ideal, but it is our Lord who teaches us. The kingdom of God is not only goal, but it is also a way. The kingdom of God is also a life. It is not just talking about power. Our Lord is talking about something gradually grow. It's a life growth of life. Can you believe that? Kingdom of God is not man's deed. It is God's seed. That's why we have the parable of sower. Our sower went out to sow. My brother and sister, our Lord was among those who sow in tears. Why? You see, brothers and sisters, and especially in the dry weather, in the terrible weather. Now, if you scatter the seed, that means you scatter the life of your whole family. Because he was not sure that this seed will enter into the ground. Now, this is the story of a sower. That's why they always sow in tears, because they know that some of the seed will be gone with the wind, never come back. He has no assurance of success. He has no uniform success. But my brothers and sisters, when Messianic kingdom comes, it comes with power. It is 100% success. Why? Because the iron rod will smash all the nations, and you discover that stone will smash the whole all the nations. You discover, brothers, it's a uniform success. It's 100% success. But what is the secret of kingdom of heaven? When the sower went out to sow, my brothers and sisters, only 25% received the word of kingdom. The word of kingdom can be accepted, can be rejected. There is no uniform success. That is the kingdom, the secret of kingdom of heaven. So my brothers and sisters, do you see that? And our Lord come. He sowed His word in us. He sowed the word of kingdom in us. My brothers and sisters, all we need to do is to accept. All we need to do is to accept His word. To accept His word into our hearts. Now, when that grow in us, my brothers and sisters, then we are saved. Then you discover the word of kingdom fall into the good soil. Now that's all our story. But remember one thing. Our Lord today did not send the angel to the heaven and say to the people in the United States, believe in the Lord. Otherwise I will let you stomach ache for 3 days. Now, brothers and sisters, if our Lord did that, everybody saved. But we don't understand the mystery of the kingdom of God, my brothers and sisters. That will happen at the very end of the age. No doubt about that. We are 100% sure about that. But People neglect, overlook the first coming of our Lord. The first coming our Lord came as a Lamb of God. Now when He come again, will be a Lion of Judah. The first time, wine and oil. The second time, you discover it's a fork and axe. The first time, donkey. The second time, you discover it's a horse. The first time, brothers and sisters, a reed in his hand, the crown of thorns is in his head. My brothers and sisters, here our Lord tells us the way, without cross, without crown. People today have a glorious goal, but they never reach there. And it is our Lord who paved the way for us. So my brothers and sisters, this is the secret of the kingdom of God. Because today, now you discover, we can only persuade people. We can never demand. After we labor in tears, at most probably, you only get 25% of success. Remember, it is not we who are sowing the seed. It is our Lord who went out and sowed, and you discover the success is only 25%. Why? Because now it is a slowing process. The Lord began to work in our heart. He did not transform the outer order immediately in 1 second, no. Our Lord was patiently working in our hearts. That His love began to touch us. His love began to persuade us. Then we are conquered. My brothers and sisters, our Lord didn't use one bullet. Didn't fire one bullet. Our Lord didn't use a missile to conquer us. But we thank God. One day, Holy Spirit worked in our heart. Worked in the States. Worked in China. Who worshiped idol for many thousand years. Thank God. And the Holy Spirit is working in our heart. And somehow that seed, the word of kingdom, fall into the heart. And it bear the fruit. My brothers and sisters, then here you'll find the sons of kingdom, wheat. The wheat is born. The sons of kingdom is born. Then in the second parable, we discover how our Lord sowed the sons of kingdom in this world. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we think that after we are saved, we should immediately be raptured. How wonderful it is. This is a terrible world. This is a bitter world. But thank God. By His grace, He's planted this soil, this seed, this good seed in this world. And He is the wheat. All other life are tares. But thank God, because He fall into the ground and die and bear much fruit. And because we receive Him as our Savior. And He conquers with His love. And my brothers and sisters, then you know what happened? Then He planted us in this world. And our life is a life of wheat. No root at all. We know the wheat is only 1 year plant or 1 year grain. A year grain. So you don't find much fruit there. The more the wheat ripens, you discover the part which connects to the earth, dry first. Then, because the more it's ripened, the moisture in it dry up. Now, when it is all dried, then it is time to be reaped. What does that mean? That means the time of rapture. So, brothers and sisters, here you find the reality. In the reality of the kingdom of God, because we are the sons of God. We are sons of kingdom, which has been sown in this world. But again, our Lord did not sweep away all the iniquities. He allowed the tares to grow, the sons of the evil one, to grow together with the wheat. But thank God, this is only the outward appearance of the kingdom. This is so-called Christendom. All those unbelievers, all the people in the world, they don't understand very well. Because they think that the Gandhi is also one of great Christians. They think that Immanuel Kant also good Christian. Because somehow these people, they connect a name with Christian. So So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find the kingdom of heaven is like an outdoor appearance. It was like that. And they all grow in the field. So, my brothers and sisters, this is the secret of the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord be merciful to us. Let us see something which the many prophets and righteous men desire to see. So may the Lord be merciful to us through these parables. We are able to understand the mysteries of kingdom of God. Now I will leave that part off because at the end of the age, you will discover the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the Son of God and the kingdom of His fathers. Then we will talk about the manifestation, public manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. Now, because of time, we just stop here. Tomorrow, the next time, we are going to continue. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for such a wonderful revelation. It is your delight, it is your pleasure to reveal such a wonderful mystery to us. Lord, we hate that because we are so inadequate to deliver this word because we are so small. And the kingdom of God is so big, is so great, it is beyond us. So Lord, we ask your spirit to continue to work into our hearts. May that small seed really grow in our hearts. Lord, we welcome the word of your kingdom into our hearts. Let it grow that we become the sons of kingdom, that we may be sown in this world. Until the end of this age, you will come back and take us. So we thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful word. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray.